The King Singers, the British a cappella vocal ensemble, is celebrating its 55th year here in 2023. The Grammy Award-winning group was formed by six choral scholars and is named for the King's College in Cambridge, England. Oddly enough, many of us first heard of the King Singers on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson back in the 1980s. The ensemble now travels the world, performing over 100 concerts a year. The sextet features two countertenors, a tenor, bass, and two baritones. This Thursday, the King Singers will perform at Kerner Hall, part of the North American tour that has taken the group to Georgia and Florida and Canadian dates in Montreal, London, and Ottawa. The concert will feature the 16th century repertoire from the recent recording Tom and Willen, and then more recent material from the group's upcoming Disney tribute, When You Wish Upon a Star. And one of the latest albums, by the way, is The Library, Volume 4, which was released last June. Over 150 albums have been released over the last five-plus decades. Tickets for the concert at kingsingers.com or rcmusic.com.
Hiking in the nights and sing you songs full of sad things. We can do the tango just for two.
Joining us on the line in Florida today, it is baritone Nick Ashby of the King Singers. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me, Mark.
Great to be with you. How's the tour feeling? I know there's been an American leg that's getting started.
Yeah, we're into it now. It's always a funny one, the jet lag coming over and trying to dive straight into concerts. But we've got wall-to-wall sunshine over here down in Florida.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Exactly. Yeah, probably right. The best thing to keep us awake.
Absolutely. You know, we want to talk about this latest project and the tour, but start by giving us a framework for this ensemble. It's been around since the late 60s. Talk about the mission statement at the beginning and then perhaps the legacy and how that's developed with time.
Yeah, it's an incredible thing. I think we all feel so lucky to be part of it. It's got this huge long history, and it's always had the 55 years it's been going now. It's developed tentacles into all different areas of singing and music, and we're really lucky to be part of it. I mean, it started out, as you mentioned earlier, in Cambridge, and it was six choral scholars who sang in the chapel choir there at King's. Magnificent building there in the UK. They were good friends, and they liked singing together, and they started singing a cappella items by themselves and events around Cambridge and then in London a few years later. And they realized they really enjoyed it. They loved spending time together, and the combination of their voices worked really well for such a broad variety of repertoire that they thought, well, we could make a thing of this. And since then, there's been 28 King Singers in total.
Wow.
And they kind of tend to revolve one at a time every sort of 5 or 6 years, 4 or 5 years, somebody will leave and a new person will replace them. It's just ever evolving. It's the kind of Theseus ship thing where all the parts get replaced every now and then, but it's still the King Singers. So in any King Singers show, you will find everything from Renaissance madrigals with questionable morals right the way through to pop songs, the most current things of the day, jazz and rock and romantic and classical and contemporary music and everything in between.
I was going to point out too, Nick, that there is a certain purity. We think about that group in the mid-60s, and it's probably classical repertoire. It's probably the idea of an a cappella group was different at that point. And so much has changed in the art form in the last 60 years. So I guess that there was a calling to catch up with where we are and change with the times.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the group has always never shied away from trying new things and trying to experiment a bit with maybe the way a CD is recorded. And loads of other amazing a cappella ensembles do incredible things with microphones and looping pedals and effects and stuff. And that's really great. But I think what suits our style, we've sort of flipped back to trying to do everything a bit more pure, as you say, purity of the sort of live product. We record everything now in the room with each other, standing side by side, to make sure it feels like the live thing that we deliver in our concerts. That's where we think our beauty lies. Just us, just six voices.
Give us a way into your path to arrive at the Singers, because what does it take to be a part of it? It's got this legacy, there's so much history, and it's a wonderful place to be as an artist, to be recording and touring. So talk about your path.
Kind of the right person in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
In the UK, we're very lucky. We have this incredible choral music tradition where there's so many choirs and church choirs and cathedral choirs where boys and girls get to be choristers from a really young age, and they get to learn the discipline of sight reading incredibly quickly and singing, blending their voices really well. And they churn through so much repertoire in those choirs because you're doing, you know, 7 or 8 services a week, that from age 6 or 7 or 8 onwards, you're plunged into this world of amazing choral music making without even really thinking about it. And lots of us 6 came through that route, and I certainly did. I grew up in Oxford, sang in lots of choirs there. I then went on to study in the north of England in York University. And as soon as I graduated, I moved to London and started singing in lots of these amazing professional choirs we have, like the Tala Scholars and Tenebrae and Stile Antico, and lots of fantastic ensembles. And then one day I ended up getting an email from Julian, our tenor, asking me if I wanted to come and audition. And I realized that if I went down this path, I could end up singing all of this different stuff, but with the same 6 guys each time rather than a different choir every week. There was a few rounds of auditions. The first round, there was maybe about 50 baritones were seen. And my 10 minutes were up. I thought, okay, that was a lovely experience, a thing I'll never forget. And I'll carry on with my nice bit of freelance singing now. Thank you very much. And they kept inviting me back. And
let me ask you this. When we've seen it in something like Mozart in the Jungle, or even in real life, heaven forbid, that, you know, you watch an oboist or 50 oboists try out for that part, a third oboe part in an orchestra. And in your case, it was the baritone for the King's Singers. I mean, when they're seeing that many people, I mean, do you have any indication of what you need to put into your performance that kind of breaks through the crowd?
Sort of, yes and no. It's a funny one because it's such a specific thing we're looking for in this group. It's not necessarily the best and most incredible and most beautiful voice that they'll be looking for, but the one that just fits with both the voices around them. So in my case, Johnny on bass to my left and Chris on baritone 1 to my right, but also that sense of flexibility as a musician and vocally. There's many pieces that I end up having to make some incredibly strange noises, and I have to be very happy to do so and be able to do so as well.
Yeah.
It's all about that. And there's also a sense of how well you blend with the voices around you. And that it comes down to a timbre quality of each one's individual voice. And I think it's a beautiful thing when you find voices that do just gel together well.
If you are just joining us, baritone Nick Ashby, nice voice of the King's Singers, is on the line from Florida. The 2023 tour stopping in Toronto at Kerner Hall this Thursday evening. You are in for a treat, Nick. That is a wonderful place to sing. KingsSingers.com and RCMusic.com to pick up those tickets. So the program is Finding Harmony. It's interesting to hear about the repertoire you've chosen. So take us into it.
Finding Harmony was an amazing concept that, dare we say so ourselves, that we came up with back in we launched at the beginning of 2020, hoping it would change the world.
And perfect timing.
Exactly. The world did change, but unfortunately, we couldn't roll out our mission.
Right.
It's a lovely bunch of repertoire that we discovered on our travels around the world, that in so many points throughout history and in all sorts of different countries all around the place, music has been used in times of great sadness as well as great joy. And so we thought we'd explore this in this program and an album. We found some great songs from civil rights movement in America, incredible music from the Renaissance when England turned Protestant. It was kind of flipping between Protestantism and Catholicism. There's some very powerful music for those people who needed a voice at those times to remind themselves of their faith. There's some music from the Eurasian country of Georgia, preserved by UNESCO as an intangible thing of cultural heritage. Beautiful 3-part music, which has been sung for over 1,000 years. There's a lot of really, really interesting music there that all gets bound together by this theme of music being this power for good and power for positivity, especially in times of hardship.
And then, I mean, I guess there's a couple different projects going on. You've recently put out the Library Volume 4. You've got a Disney project on the way. You've got England's Greatest Composers, 2 giants of Elizabethan music going back to the 16th century. So there's lots to dip into from relatively new projects.
Well, we discovered early last year that 2023 is going to be quite a bumper year for anniversaries. To celebrate that, we thought we had released three albums just to give us something to do. one of them, the 400th anniversary of the deaths of William Byrd and Thomas Weelkes, both incredible composers, Elizabethan composers. We had a great time putting together an album with the Viol Consort Fretwork, who are just phenomenal musicians and such a joy to work with. And then alongside that, the natural pairing of albums was a Disney album to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Disney Corporation.
Of course, yeah. One lens to the other, absolutely.
One lens to the other, just so beautifully, exactly. We got almost 30 brand new arrangements of favourite Disney numbers from right across the 100 years of Disney, and spent an incredible 6 days recording them in a studio in London. That's going to be released towards the end of April. If that wasn't enough, and if people didn't like Disney or Renaissance music, but had a hankering for something more contemporary, to later on in the year, we're releasing an album called Wonderland, a collection of György Ligeti, the Hungarian contemporary composer. He wrote 6 nonsense madrigals for us. So we've recorded them, and we're going to be releasing them later this year to celebrate his 100th anniversary of his birth. 3 ridiculous anniversaries, all from different corners of music, and we felt like we might be the right people to try and do this strange combination of releases all in the same year.
The King Singers in Toronto, Finding Harmony, the title of the program, and baritone Nick Ashby with the King Singers. Just a pleasure. Thank you for joining us from Florida.
Thank you, Mark. Lovely to chat to you.
The King Singers this Thursday at Kerner Hall. Tickets at kingsingers.com or rcmusic.com. Get your tickets now before they go, and let's listen. The King Singers.